In this story today, you that take notes, get your pencil and paper out. You that don't take notes, put your thinking cap on. All of us together, we're going to learn today. We're going to take our time, I believe, when we expound the Word of God, we need to dig in and find out what's there. See some things maybe that are below the surface. So we're going to be looking today at the hard heart. In this parable, Jesus will describe four types of soil. And those soils represent the human heart. The Bible says that let those that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says. So today, by way of introduction, we're going to look at these verses. Jesus said, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And then if you go down to Matthew 13:18, he explains what he means by this. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away what was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. May God add the blessing to the reading of His holy word. Jesus begins the parable by using a little word, behold. When you see that word in the Bible, it means that you had better pay really, really, really a lot of attention to what's being said. All of Scripture is equally important, of course. But in this parable, as Jesus begins it, the first word he says is, behold. Literally, it carries with it the idea of don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't let this get by you. See this, understand this, and perceive this. So today, as we look at this about the hard heart today, we're going to go through and we're going to explain a little about the parable, and then I want to go back and I want to look at some early sowers of the Word of God. Now, first of all, I want you to behold the sower. Behold the sower. Behold, a man went forth to sow. Now, in context, this is the Son of Man. In its original context, it is the Son of God. That He has come and He is sowing the Word of God. That He has come and He is bringing us the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, incarnate. And He comes and He shares with us the Word. So, as we notice and behold the sower today, I want you to notice that a sower sows in hope. By that I simply mean that there is an expectation of results. When you go out and you sow and you begin to scatter, you that are into the farming and everything here, you can understand this parable. There is no need to sow if there is not any expectation of results, right? So when the farmer goes out and he begins to sow, there is an expectation that there is going to be a yield, that there is going to be a harvest, that something is going to come forth out of that yielding. There are going to be results. We know that a sower sows at the appropriate time. There are times that are appropriate to sow. But when we're talking about sowing the Word of God, all time is appropriate for that sowing.
That's right.
Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there is a time to plant, a time to sow, and a time to reap. There is an appropriate time. So as you behold the sower today, I want you to see this is Christ in the original context, and He's going out, and He's sowing seed, the Bible says. Then I want you to behold the seed that is being sown. The seed that is being sown is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. When we think about the Word of God, I want us to look at what the Bible says about itself. Not what I say about it, not what you say about it, not what anybody else says about it, but what does the Bible say about itself? Well, 2 Peter says it like this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, as you behold the seed that is being sown in this parable, and the seed that is being sown this morning in this congregation, you need to understand that the seed is the Word of God, that it is not the will of man. Notice that this verse says that no Scripture came by any act of the human will. It did not come out of the flesh. The Bible makes it plain that it came by the Holy Spirit entering into men that became holy, and the product of that was the Holy Scripture.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, holy men, and Holy Scripture. This is what the Bible is telling us. Whenever we hear someone say, well, the Bible is a collection of books written by men and written by just ideas and things, that's ridiculous. The Bible is a book that was written over some 1,500 years by over 40 different authors on 3 different continents and 3 different languages, and it is the Word of the living God.
Amen.
It is the Word of God. Understand as you behold the seed today that this seed that is being sown is nothing less than the Word of God. It did not come by the will of man, but it came as holy men of old were carried along by the Spirit of God. Behold the seed. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, says it like this, that all Scripture is breathed out by God. Breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When you behold the seed today, understand that it is breathed out by God. If you're looking at the King James today, it would render it that every word is inspired of God. It means that it is God breathed, that the Word of God is breathed out by God, that it is the Holy Scripture. The Bible wants you to know that the source of the Bible, it did not originate in the mind of men. It was not men's imagination or men's stories, but the Bible says that its source is from God, that God breathed it out, that all Scripture is given by God and is inspired of God. I said last week something to this effect. Notice that the Bible says that all Scripture, we cannot take the Bible and treat it like we do a bag of trail mix, I believe I said last week. Where you get into the trail mix and you pick out what you like and what you don't like. The Bible says that about itself that all Scripture is inspired of God. Every bit of it is breathed out by God. Amen?
Amen.
You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then you open up a serious problem deciding what is inspired and what is not inspired. We cannot go that route. All Scripture is inspired of God. It is God-breathed, and then the writer wants you to know that it's profitable. So you're here today, and I want you to behold the seed that is being sown. I want you to understand that it's God-breathed, it comes from God, and it is also profitable today. Whatever you need, if you are not saved today, the Word of God can save you. If you are out of the will of God today, the Word of God can bring you back into fellowship with God. Whatever need you have today, the writer says that God breathed out Scripture to give it to us for our profit. So I want you to behold the seed. And then I want you to notice, behold the sowing of the seed. Not only behold the sower, not only behold the seed, but then we hear, behold the sowing of the seed. Take notice of this. Our verses said that the sower went out and he was scattering seed. Now in Bible times, fields had little paths in between them, and those little paths would sometimes be hardened by traffic over those footpaths. And they would be hardened. And the Bible says that if you notice the sower, he is going out and he is sowing the seed. He is scattering that seed. He's sowing the seed. And the Bible says that the only problem is some is falling by the wayside. Now, today I am the sower. In the original, the Son of Man. But the sower today are those that stand and they sow the Word of God, the true and living Word of God. That is the sower today. So the Bible says that he was going along and he was sowing, throwing seed, and they were falling by the wayside, much of it. Now you see, when you are plowing a field and planting seed, you know where that field has been cultivated. But the disadvantage of the pastor or those that are sowing the spiritual seed is this, that we've got to sow everywhere because we don't know where that plow of conviction has been. Does that make sense? We don't know. As I look out at you, I don't know about your heart. And that is the thing about the sower of the Word of God. We might save a lot of time and a lot of energy if we could only know where the good soil was, but we do not know. So our job is this, that we go out and we sow the Word of God. Now, I know, and I say this quite often, everyone sitting here today, you're hearing in one of four ways. Today we're looking at the hard heart. Some are sitting here today, and I'm just going to be blunt about it. Your mind is wandering here and there. Maybe you're already looking at your watch. Maybe you're already wondering when the preacher's going to be done. Can I get amen? Not many can I, but I'll get a few. All right, so this is true. This is what Jesus is saying. And unfortunately, even in the field called the church, some of the seed falls by the wayside. Now you might expect, as you're going into the world sowing the Word of God, you might expect some to fall by the wayside. But when you come into the house of God, you really wouldn't expect the seed to fall by the wayside here because hopefully you came today to hear the Word of God. Hopefully you came today to be challenged by the Word of God, to worship God, to lift the Lord up. But you see this sower, as you behold him, he's scattering seed and he's sowing seed. And I'll say it again. that I don't know where the plow of conviction has broken up the fallow ground. The Bible says in the Old Testament to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. So as I look out, here's the problem we have again. We invest some time and we invest some labor at times that the Word falls on the wayside. It doesn't fall upon good ground. That's just the way it is. If I could look at you and see your heart and see if the Spirit of God had broken the fallow ground, then it would really give me some idea that that's some good sowing ground. But you see, we can't see that. So it's the job of the preacher that we scatter the seed. Okay? And then I want you to behold something else. I want you to behold the snatching of the seed. In our reading, we beheld the sower. He's going out. He has the Word of God. He is scattering the seed. Some of that seed, Jesus will tell us later in our study of this parable, is going to fall on good ground. It's going to fall on good ground. The Spirit of God is going to energize the Word of God. That Word is going to come up in your heart and life. It's going to produce fruit, and you're going to become a born-again Christian. That's how it works. But there are those that sit, and the Word of God falls by the wayside. Now, let me say something about the snatching of the seed away. The Bible said in our reading that the wicked one, when the word is sown, you're sitting here today. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, here's what's happening. You're having the Word of God fall upon your heart. You're going to have the Word of God today to fall upon your heart. It's going to be scattered and it's going to fall there. But if you're not saved, here's what's going to happen. Jesus said, the wicked one. You believe there's a wicked one? Do you believe that there is a devil? I'm not talking about some abstract concept of evil. I believe the Bible says that there is a devil. And there are demons at work in our world. And part of the battle that's going on today is this, that those demons are trying to interfere from right here to right here for you. I'm sowing the Word of God. Now, it's interesting when we think about the snatching away of the seed that in Mark's account of this, he interjects one little word that is very important. Mark says that the wicked one or the fowls of the air is how they're described, says they come immediately. Now, the other Gospels don't record that. Mark slides that little word in for you, that they come immediately. And that is very important because really grammatically in the original, that is in the present tense indicating an action in progress. And what I mean by that is this. The wicked one is not going to allow a cumulative effect of the Word of God to fall upon your heart. What you need to realize is this. It's an action in progress. It's in the present tense. And here's what that means. As I'm sowing the Word of God, the fowls of the air are picking it up as quick as I'm sowing it. Are you with me? Very important you understand this. This doesn't mean that Satan is going to sit and let the Word build in your heart and build in your heart. That's not what it's saying. Immediately, I am sowing the Word and the fowls of the air are coming immediately behind me and they're picking that Word up off your heart as quick as I'm sowing it. Thought about that? Again, Satan is not going to allow the Word of God to lay upon your heart because you see, he may miss snatching some of that, and the Word of God is so powerful and quick and alive that the Spirit of God will spring that Word up and it will bring life. So Satan is simultaneously snatching the Word today as I'm sowing the Word. I may be talking to some of you here today. You know you're not saved. I don't know. And you know what's happening as the Word is falling? The devil's not going to wait until you go out, or he's not going to wait until tomorrow. He's not going to give the Word of God a chance to germinate in your life. He is coming as soon as the Word falls on your heart, and he is snatching away the Word of God. Wow. Now, that being said, I want to spend the remainder of our time as I begin thinking about how I wanted to approach this sermon. So many different ways to preach things when we look at it. And I begin to think that I want to go back early in the Bible, and I want to look at the first sowers of the Word of God. It's what I want to do in the remainder of our time. I want to go back. Now, I told you that in that parable, that was Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, sowing the Word of God. Now today, it is His ministers that are sowing the Word of the true and living God. But I want to go back right now in the beginning, and I want to go back and look at the first sowers of the Word of God. And I want to show you how the hard heart that Jesus talked about took place from the beginning. Let's go back to the first sower of the Word of God would be a man by the name of Noah. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:7 these words, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." The first sower that we are introduced to in the Bible is a man by the name of Noah. He is warned by God that judgment is coming. By the way, let me say that nothing will solve the problems, and we need to put whoever the proper candidate is in office. That does matter. We are to pray about that, and we're to do our job. But let me say that the only thing that will cure the ills of society is the conversion of the human heart.
Amen.
You can reform everybody. You can put them through any program you want to. You can do any of that you want to. But the Bible says about the heart that the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. You see, Jesus is the only one. You can't see what I'm drinking in this cup, can you? You don't know, do you? All right. You see, I like to say it like this. Jesus is the only one that can take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it white as snow. Right? Isaiah says it this way, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they'll be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be white as snow." Noah was the first sower of the Word of God. And notice that the Bible says that he was warned by God about things not seen as yet. That's what we do. That we cry and we warn people to flee the wrath of God that is coming. Don't be deceived, my friend. The wrath of God is coming, and this world is on a crash course collision with the wrath of God. John the Baptist was sowing the Word of God, and that's what he was doing when those religious leaders came to him in that day. John would say something like this, "Who has warned you to flee the wrath of God?" Noah was warned, and we try to tell people today that God is going to judge, that one day God is going to intervene in human history. He's already intervened once when Jesus came. But the next time Jesus comes, He's not coming to sow the Word of God. He is coming to bring judgment upon the ungodly.
That's right.
Now you may say, "Well, Brother Rocky, how do we know that Noah was sowing the Word?" May say, how do we know that Noah was sowing? while he was working? Well, we know it because it says in 2 Peter 2, 5, these words, speaking of the judgment of God. God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Right there, we are told that Noah, when we see a preacher of righteousness, preachers preach. So Noah, while he worked, was scattering and sowing the word of God. But guess what happened? It fell by the wayside. And you know that the Bible says that that day that God put Noah in the ark and his family, and the Bible says the Lord shut the door. Let me tell you, there's only one safe place to be, and that's in Jesus Christ. He is our ark of safety. He is our ark. That is the only safe place to be. And the Bible says that God shut the door that day. And then finally, all that seed that Noah had sown had fallen by the wayside. And before you know it, the judgment came upon the ungodly and swept them all away. Maybe sitting here today and you may say, well, Brother Rocky, I'll get saved when I want to get saved. No, you won't. The Bible says that there is a door that is open that no man shuts, and there's a shut door that no man opens. You'll deal with God when God is speaking to your heart. I got news for you. You're not in control today. You're not the one. God's not dealing with you on your terms. You're dealing with God on His terms. Noah was the first sower of the Word of God. And then I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Moses. The Bible says this in Exodus 3, the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. I like that. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came down. Isn't that a wonderful? I underline that. That I am aware of their sufferings. Take comfort in that today. That wherever you are in life today, whatever you're going through, whatever is happening in your life, this really blessed me when I saw that God said, Moses, let them know that I am aware of everything that's going on in their life. And I want you to know the same is true in your life today. And so guess what? He puts Noah right in the heat of the battle. He says, Moses, not Noah, Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to be a sower of the Word of God. Therefore, come now and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, you're to go down. You're to be a sower of the Word of God. I want you to go down. Moses said, who do I need to tell them that sent me? And he said, you tell them the I am that I am sent you. When they ask, who is this God? God says, just tell them that they're soon going to find out who I am. Very soon, I'm going to make a name, and when I lead you out of Egypt by a strong arm, everybody will know who I am. And you know the story that Moses went down and God began to bring plagues. And you know the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now, I'm not going to get into the discussion today on whether God hardened it in A, B, and C. We know that both are involved. We know that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and we know, on the other hand, that God gave Pharaoh over to his own desire, and his own desire was to harden his own heart. So the two worked together in unison. That God hardened Pharaoh's heart by allowing Pharaoh to go and do his own thing. Let me say just a word here about one of the most puzzling answers in the Bible here. Every time Moses would go and sow the word, let my people go, God would bring a judgment and it would soften the heart of Pharaoh a little bit. And then the next thing you know, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened again, was confirmed in that hardness over and over and over again. But one of the most interesting things in the Bible that teaches us about the human heart is this. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "The honor is yours to tell me, when shall I entreat to you and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile, and that you may know that there is none like our God." You remember this plague? That all the frogs came up and they entered the houses, they entered the bedchambers, they entered the kitchen. You got up, there was frogs everywhere all over Egypt. God called them out of the Nile. And here they came and they covered Egypt everywhere like a blanket. And finally the heart of Pharaoh softens a little bit and he calls the man of God. You know, sometimes when the man of God is called, you're in desperate condition, right? Sometimes when we get that call, we know that people have exhausted every other resource. And finally he calls Moses and he says, "Moses, I want you to pray to God. I want you to entreat the Lord that these frogs might leave. I've had enough of them." Moses says, "Tell me when you want me to pray." Get ready for the most puzzling answer in the Bible. Then he said, "Tomorrow." Wow. That's the most puzzling thing in the Bible. Most puzzling answer. Getting up, sleeping with frogs, eating with frogs, doing everything with frogs. And the man of God says, "I can pray right now and get rid of these." And Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow." And what I want to tell you is that's an example of the hardness of the heart. What I want to tell you is this. Pharaoh said, "Give me one more night to figure out how to solve this myself." You see, this is where this is. Pharaoh is saying, "Give me one more night. Let me brainstorm this overnight. And then if I can't do anything about it, then tomorrow I'll let you get rid of the fire." That's how the human heart is in sin. It's always tomorrow. It's always one more night with the frogs. My friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, God is inviting those frogs to be expelled from your life, and He can do it today, but most of the time due to the hardness of the heart, man says tomorrow. Wow. Most puzzling answer in the Bible. And then you know that the Bible says that He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And you know how it ends. That finally when God brought them out with an outstretched arm, God, those Egyptians were behind them, but you see, God brought the Shekinah glory cloud. And you see, that cloud served two purposes. It gave light for the Israelites, but it was darkness to the Egyptians. That's what the Word of God does. It either brings light into your life, or you go into more darkness all the time. That's the way it works. Now, in our story today, as we want to begin to bring this down, Jesus talks about a hard heart. What are some of the things that trot across a man's heart that makes it so hard that the Word of God can't go down into it? What are some of the things? Well, the Bible says the deceitfulness of sin in Hebrews. "Beware lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Sin is deceitful and it will harden your heart against God. Another thing that trods across the human heart that ends up making it hard is just this, that people have rejected the light and they've rejected the Word of God over and over and over again. And you see, every time you reject the Word of God, you know what happens? You add a layer, you add a coating over your heart. And it's just like you become desensitized. And sometimes the Word of God has fallen on the heart so much that that heart has become so hardened because it's rejected the truth. that the Word of God cannot fall. And let me remind you of one thing, that a hard heart was once upon a time a tender heart. A hard heart was once upon a time a tender heart. I'll leave you with one more man that was the early sower of the Word of God, and he likewise saw the seed fall by the wayside. Was a man by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. You know, and let me say this, ministry is one of the most rewarding things in the world, and it is also one of the most heartbreaking things in the world to do. It is one of the greatest works to be called to, but it is also a labor that at times is very disappointing. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, and look what he says. Jeremiah had sown the Word of God over and over and over. And here's what he says. I have become a laughingstock. All day long, everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud and I proclaim violence and destruction. He's given the message of God. And then he says, because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. So, he says this, God, you're speaking through me. I'm going out. I'm sowing the Word of God. I am sowing and throwing the Word of God. But it's falling by the wayside. And Jeremiah says that the Word of the Lord literally has resulted in a reproach in my life. And he said, I've become a laughingstock, but I like how he ended this. And boy, every preacher knows how this is. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name. Oh my, I love this. Then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in and I cannot endure. Every preacher, every sower of the Word of God knows how that is. Sunday after Sunday rolls around. We prepare. We sow the Word of God. We throw the Word of God. And sometimes we come in and we say, God, is this Word falling on any good ground? And then we go home and we say, God, we're going to have to do this again. And at times, it is a burden, to be honest with you. And Jeremiah felt the burden of that. But then Jeremiah understood what every sower of the Word knows, that whenever we get ready to say, I'm done, I'm closing the book, I'm going to the house, there's something to the man of God that is called to be a sower of the Word that is shut up in our heart and it is shut up in our bones and it is a fire and we cannot keep the Word of God to ourselves. This is what Jeremiah said. Now, let's wrap it up. He went forth to sow. Seed scattered. Some of it's fallen on that heart. That hard heart that's been beat down. And it's so hard that the Word falls on the surface. And guess what he's doing? Here comes the wicked one. Let me get a little theatrical. He's pulling, and he's taking, and he's not waiting, and he's getting it before it ever gets a chance to fall in your heart. You got the message today? What I'm talking about, are you today that are here, and you come and you sit and you listen to the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, it has no effect upon your life, the Word falls upon your heart, Jesus said the wicked one takes it away. And you leave out of this place the same way that you came in. God help. If you're in that condition today, God help you for the Holy Spirit to soften your heart that the Word of God can go down and save you.